Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Those Republican voters who say they're uncomfortable with Romney's Mormonism are just as likely to say they're going to vote for him as those Republicans who say they have no misgivings about Romney's religion.
The possibility of straddling or being in the middle or compromising, those possibilities are all being taken off the table. And they're being taken off the table by the radical gay agenda.
I think that's one of the fundamental mistakes that you see in a lot of Christianity today, is Christianity becomes kind of a 12-step, a 20-step, a program of rehabilitation.
Western New York State Independent Baptist pastors love Issues, etc.
His story is ancient. His story is short. His story is a bit gruesome. You don't find many who are murdered by being roasted on the gridiron, but he was. And although you may have never heard his name, St. Lawrence from the 3rd century, this deacon, this martyr, the people of his time certainly recognized his name. And from his death on the 10th of August, the church pretty much remembered him every 10th of August because of his profession of faith and because of his martyrdom. We're going to be remembering him as well on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 8th. Pastor Greg Alms will join us here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. Welcome back, and we are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Alms, Pastor Jonathan Fisk will join us. We're going to talk about the movie that's just out, Total Recall. He's going to give us a review of that movie. It's a remake, of course, in a Hollywood of remakes. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be with us in the last few minutes of this hour to talk about state laws restricting abortion. Feel free to join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Greg Alms is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. Greg, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
He's called a deacon. What exactly was a deacon in the 3rd century of Christendom?
Well, deacon was a ordained office in the early church. Did many, many things. Not a bishop, not a presbyter, or what we might know as a pastor. Deacons had liturgical functions. They assisted. One of their main duties in the 3rd century in Rome and in the West would have been, and this is reflected in Lawrence's story, assisting with the poor. They were duties for financial responsibility, looking after the finances of the church, and one of the big parts of that property sort of thing was assisting the poor, acts of mercy, charity, they were also basically assistants to the bishop, messengers and things of that sort. Not a real rigid job description for deacons. They did a lot of different things, but the main areas was property of the church, administrating that on behalf of the bishop, taking care of the poor, the widows, the sick in the community, especially in the church. And then, you know, basically whatever the bishop wanted them to do.
What was the state of affairs in the Roman world? And we're talking here about, I believe, mid-third century. What was the state of affairs in the Roman world there that Christians had to contend with?
Well, it was a time of persecution in the mid-200s, mid-third century. There was the first empire-wide persecution under Decius, which was in the late 240s, 250s, and then continued under his successor Valerian in the rest of the 250s, and these were pretty intense persecutions. So in the Roman world, there had always been persecution, but it had been spotty, dependent upon the area. Under Decian was the first sort of from the emperor top down all over the empire. You know, you're going to have to go sacrifice to the emperor, and that was continued under Valerian as well. And it was Valerian who put Lawrence to death and, you know, became a martyr. So rough time for the church in that period. They had, you know, 250, they'd been around a lot. They were growing. Obviously, the church was growing. And then this is really the beginning of a reaction that lasts up until, you know, really Constantine converts and the persecution goes away. A reaction by the Roman Empire, the pagan sort of establishment.
What was the rationale from the emperor, be it Decian or Valerius? What was the rationale for persecuting the Christian church?
Well, I think at this point, the Roman Empire itself, Valerius, is in sort of a decline, and Valerian, the persecution ends because Valerian, much to the shame of the Romans, is taken prisoner. I mean, he is captured by the Persians, and so, you know, the Roman Empire itself is in a period of confusion, weakening, and I think in the back of their minds, they're looking at this Christian church, which is growing, becoming more prominent, and I think they're trying to do something, to strike at something that's strange and different, to try to sort of right their ship. They don't know exactly what's going on with their empire, and lashing out at the Christians seemed, you know, a little bit of a convenient thing, sort of mobilize public opinion. It kind of ends up backfiring on them. You know, that well-known saying, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, as the Christians stepped up with faith and courage through the Holy Spirit, it ended up only publishing the gospel further.
Did they also, I mean, so it sounds like part of their motivation may have been to try and consolidate their empire, and Christians were an obstacle? I mean, because they refused to pay religious homage,
right,
to the empire, to the emperor himself, it sounds like that presented a movement that had to be stamped out if consolidation was going to move forward.
Exactly, right. I mean, if you're trying to consolidate power and prestige and respect for the emperor, and doing that both in a religious sense and in a political sense, which is how they operated, and then you're trying to do that and you have this prominent group that's refusing to go along, then you have to do something. And it was exactly that they were trying to force these force the Christians into this act of public acknowledgement of the emperor, and when the Christians refused, then you know, they cracked down.
Why would a Christian of that time, this is a bit foreign to our way of thinking, because we do have a very I mean, it's ingrained, at least in the West, in our way of thinking, a separation between church and state. Why would a Christian have resisted paying homage to a Roman emperor at this time?
Well, I mean, it comes down to worship, as many things do. I mean, the act that was required of them was, you know, to go up, and this varied, I mean, but to pay homage makes it sort of sound, trifling or small, but, you know, to take a little bit of incense, to drop it on the fire, and to say something to the effect that Caesar is Lord, you know, for the Christians, you know, is a big deal. It's an act of worship. It's a public act where you are, you know, and the words of the New Testament where Jesus is Lord, and now you're saying, the emperor is Lord. That just was way too much. First commandment, idolatry, worship, giving homage, you know, worshiping the emperor where Christ demanded, you know, the Lord God, Yahweh, the Old Testament demands, you know, total worship for him on account of, you know, we belonging to him.
Now, this also highlights something about persecution generally. No, it's not universal about persecution, but often the motivation from the persecutor's side isn't explicitly theological. They're not saying, I know the doctrines of Christianity and I want to stamp them out. It, mm-hmm. You know, it sounds like, at least in the case of these emperors, their motivation may have been as much political as religious.
Yes, exactly. And they didn't, for them, the political and the religious were all of one thing. In other words, you know, they could care less who the Christian worshipped. I mean, their object, I mean, you know, this was not a theological debate for them. You know, as we talked about earlier, they were trying to strengthen the empire. They were, and but the means by which they were doing it were also religious. I mean, as you said, you know, the separation of church and state for the Roman emperor, for the Roman Empire, this was, you know, the state and the state religion kind of went together. And so, no, they could care less about Christians' individual doctrines. This was more a citizenship thing, but it had spiritual and religious overtones because the Roman state had always included a Roman religion, and it was all very closely bound together. And it was the Christians who were different. And so to try to apply this to the Christians, you know, the Christians resisted because they saw things differently, and their allegiances were different.
Greg Holmes is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. We're talking about third century deacon and martyr Lawrence. When we come back, we'll talk about the circumstances of his martyrdom and why his martyrdom left such a deep impression on Christians that almost from the time of his death, August 10th has been a day to remember St. Lawrence in Western Christianity. Our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 8th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. After a few more minutes with Pastor Holmes, Pastor Jonathan Fisk will join us. We're going to be reviewing the movie Total Recall. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest. We'll talk about state laws that restrict abortion, sometimes called the incremental approach against Roe v. Wade. We'll see what she thinks about it in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Lawrence, a deacon and a martyr from Christian history, the third century. We'll get to his martyrdom here in just a minute. Pastor Gregory Olms is our guest. Tennis fans listening to us in St. Louis, stay tuned. A little bit later in this hour, we're going to give away tickets to a professional tennis tournament coming up this weekend, so stay tuned. Pastor Olms, tell us the story of Lawrence's martyrdom. How did he come to be, well, not roasted on the spit, but roasted on the gridiron?
Right. Well, it's really two parts to it. I mean, the first part, which is, I mean, the gridiron is the famous part of the story, but this first part, which brought him into prison, the prefect of Rome, the mayor of Rome, basically asked him to hand over the treasures of the church, all of their gold, silver, their assets, and the story goes that Lawrence asked for a few days to gather those things up so he could surrender them. The bishop had been taken or killed at that point, and so in these days he distributed that wealth and in a sly, smart way, distributed that wealth, tried to get it out of the church into as many different hands as Christians that he could so it would not be seized. And then when he was to surrender the treasures of the church to this official, he gathered up the poor, the sick, the crippled people that the church cared for, and he said, "Here, Roman official, here are the true treasures of the church. These people, the people of God, weak, lowly, and so forth. But here are the true treasures." Well, that's a very nice story. And in any event, he was imprisoned, and eventually put to death. You know, the story is indeed that he is burned to death on what is essentially a gridiron. And you know, with these stories, one always know exactly what the truth is. And but I don't think that's entirely the point. The truth however he died, and it's quite probable that it was. I mean, it's a strong tradition, and was the forthrightness of his confession. And there's a sort of a humorous story that is associated with it, you know, where he said, you know, that he's kind of joking as his flesh is being roasted. He says, "Turn me over, I'm not done, you know, on the other side." And again, it's that image of a man filled with the Holy Spirit who has confronted this evil and can face death with some sort of humor, that the Lord has bringing a witness in that situation. And you know, the story and the images have made quite an impression on the church throughout the ages.
Often it is you know, centuries, decades after a martyr's death that the church begins to remember. They have to kind of grow in legend, but that's not the case with Lawrence. Why is the church, and why should the church still remember him, even though so many have not heard of him?
Well, I think there's two aspects to that. I think the acts of mercy, the deep role that he had as a deacon in caring for the poor, and I think that is an excellent way that we should give thanks to God for the example of Lawrence and seek to imitate him, and that is through acts of mercy, through acts of charity in our church, in our communities. And as with any martyr, and especially with him, to pray for steadfastness in confessing the faith. Pray God we never face such difficulties as he did, but that in the places where we are called to confess the faith, that we would be given that same Holy Spirit to confess it with boldness as he did.
Listener Cheryl sends a question via the Issues Etc. iPhone app saying, "Why was it that people were so willing to suffer so terribly for Christ back then? No one today would undergo such torture." What's your answer to that, Pastor Olms?
Well, it's a good question. I might quibble a little bit with the premise. I mean, I think there are Christians who do suffer willingly. They're often in hidden away places. They don't get the press that they ought to get or the recognition. But whether it's in Iran or in Muslim countries or in faraway places, even today there are martyrs who stand up for the faith. I think we have to examine ourselves and our own way of life and pray that we have the strength through the Holy Spirit. It's nothing that we can manufacture on our own, but only that we pray God would grant us the strength we need for the challenges that we face.
So what should we remember about this man with about 30 seconds? I mean, there's a lot to remember in the gruesome imagery, but what is the best thing that the church would remember on this day?
I think the best thing that the church can remember is service and witness. I mean, service to the poor, service to those who are presented in our life who need our charity, but doing that for the sake of the church. Lawrence was not a lone ranger. He did that in service of the church in service to that congregation in Rome, and also he witnessed to his Lord even in the most extreme cases. And those are the things, you know, we seek to imitate the good that we find in the saints, and those are the things that we can take with us and pray God would grant us as well.
Pastor Greg Olms is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. Pastor Olms, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.